Hello and welcome to another episode of Sketchbook Secrets. I'm your host, Jess the Geek Girl, and I'm going to be talking about some really awesome stuff today, some really cool events I was able to attend last weekend, so stay tuned for that. I want to apologize first off though, there hasn't been a new episode for a while, and I'm really sorry about that. Between technical issues and life and trying to get ready for Comic-Con, it all just kind of went all crazy. So, we're back on track. Everything's fixed. Rego, I'm really excited about the show. Making a few minor changes. Nothing like super big. So, I'm really stoked about the direction this is going. I'm really excited about some of the guests that I'm going to be having on. I was able to rub shoulders and meet a lot of really amazing artists at Comic-Con, so I'm super excited, as you can imagine. Now, tonight, I am going to be playing an awesome interview by Tabitha Ladin. She is an amazing fantasy artist. I'm sorry, I have two dogs sitting here on my lap wanting attention, and by two dogs, I mean like 50, 60-pound dogs. You're probably like 55. Cassius is probably like 60s. Anyways, yeah, two big dogs sitting here vying for my attention. Hey. So, easily distracted I am. It is true, and it's easy to be distracted in this house with all of the animals I have running amok. But, you know, they're fun. Anyways, awesome interview by Tabitha Ladin. She's a really amazing artist. I absolutely love her work. She does a lot of hippocampuses, hippocampi, whatever the plural form of a hippocampus is. She basically takes a fish that she really enjoys and then designs this hippocampus around this fish. And they are some of the most amazing things I've ever seen. I absolutely love her. I'm sorry if you can hear my dogs growling at each other. They tend to do that. She has this really awesome lionfish that I love, and like, it's super cool. So, anyways, I'll probably hop right into that. Check out her work. She uses a lot of really bright color, which I love. You know, a lot of people, that's kind of a turnoff, but I love work that has bright colors. And I think for what she does, it works extremely well. A lot of really fun fantasy pieces. She's got this steampunk dragon looking thing that's amazing too. So check out her work if you want to find her. She's on tabithaladin.com. That's just tabithaladin.com. So I'm gonna go ahead and play the interview for you, and I hope you all enjoy it.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining me.
Sure.
So, go ahead and tell everyone kind of what you do, a little bit about yourself.
My name is Tabitha Ladin. I paint mostly fantasy paintings. Usually they're sort of portrait style of different kinds of interesting fantasy animals you might think of. Sometimes I'll do sci-fi type stuff or kind of creepy. But usually I stick with the more, you know, fantasy, dragons, unicorns, things like that.
The fun stuff.
Yeah.
Awesome. Now, do you just send most of your work to, like, conventions and stuff? Is that where a lot of your income comes from?
Yeah. I don't travel very much myself. Since I live in Tucson, there's really not a lot of art shows here. It's pretty dead.
Yeah.
especially if you're in fantasy, there's just really nothing here. So I send stuff out to mostly in the United States, but yeah.
Awesome. I've seen your art at several places, I think. Cuz I've seen it at LTUE, and then I saw it at, I think you sent it to LTUE, is that right? Possibly, maybe not.
No, I don't think so. That one doesn't sound.
I'm trying to figure. Well, I've seen it several times. I know this.
Yeah.
It was at Conduit.
Yes.
And I am absolutely in love with, like, the horses that you draw, that are like the underwater fish horses.
Yes, thank you. I just finished a new one that is even brighter than the other ones.
Perfect.
Yeah, those are fun because there's you can just do anything you want. I mean, there's so many fish to take inspiration from.
Right.
I have a lot of fun with those.
Awesome. So when did you kind of get started in art?
I think as soon as I can hold a crayon. I still have pictures that I drew when I was like 4. They're super funny to look at now. I show them to the kids and they don't even believe I ever did something like that. But yeah, I've been pretty much drawing or painting my whole life. I took a big break for years when I, went to school and got married and had kids and didn't really get back into it again till about 90, what the heck year was it? I don't know, 2006 or 7 or something like that. So, yeah, I've been doing art all my life, but I haven't been actually doing fun painting maybe for the last 4 or 5 years. I was a graphic designer for a while, too, which is totally not the same.
No.
It's more fun.
Absolutely. I was going to school to be a graphic designer, and it was fun, but it just wasn't as fun as when I decided to switch over to illustration, and I'm like, so mm-hmm. much more fun.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Having done both, the graphics design is really kind of rigid.
Right.
You know, what you can do, so, especially if you're working for, like, a financial industry, you know?
Yeah.
Not a lot of wiggle room on the creative side there, so I'm happier right. now.
Awesome. So did you always want to be an artist? Is that just always kind of something you knew you wanted to do?
I didn't always know I wanted to do it as my main focus. I always knew I wanted to do art, but not commercially.
Right.
That was only in the last, like I said, in 2000, sometime in the zeros. I think it was 2006 or 2007, is when I started actually trying to sell stuff, you know. And the coloring books, too. I do the coloring books that are also fantasy themed. And I think that was the first thing I actually tried to start selling, you know. Before that, I was just drawing for fun and, artists trading cards, a lot of trading and stuff like that. So yeah, always an artist, but not always a seller of art.
Awesome. So, man, I just lost my train of thought where I was going with this. Love when that happens. Yeah, so you've always been into fantasy. Is that just kind of something you always grew up with? Or did you kind of look at conventions and say, hey, people like pictures of fairies? Like, I've heard a lot of artists say when they try to sell convention art that they do a lot of cats with wings and a lot of fairies and dragons.
Right.
So,
yeah, that's funny because you look at what sells, and clearly cats with wings are a big one.
Yeah.
So I think I've done one cat with wings, which was sort of for fun, but I usually do what I feel like doing, what makes me happy.
Right.
Yeah, fantasy's always been the thing. You know, I grew up reading, like, The Hobbit, a lot of fantasy books, and I would see the covers of the books, you know, and the Pern books. I can't feel like I think what they're called, but...
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, the dragons on the front, all those paintings, and I wish I knew the artist's names to tell you, but those were super inspiring when I saw how people painted something that didn't exist and made it believable like it could. And I always thought that was fun. And doing mashups when I was a kid, I'd take like random animals and like put a head on, you know, a giraffe head on an elephant or, I mean, just weird stuff like that. So yeah, it's always sort of what I've been drawn to because, I don't know, it's more interesting. You know, I had a period where I painted a lot of birds, but it just wasn't creative to me. It was just sort of like representing something that already exists.
Right.
So, yeah, I definitely do the fantasy, and I do what I like, and some of my things are more accessible and sell better, and I will sometimes do more of those, obviously, because you can sell them better, but I'm not really doing too many cats.
Right.
Yeah. It's overdone, like you said, I think. And
yeah.
It's just not what I feel like painting usually, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, kind of speaking of inspiration and stuff, did you have any, like, big heroes that you looked up to in, like, the art field?
Yeah, you know, when I was a kid, we had art books lying all over the house, and originally it was sort of the real famous, you know, Da Vinci was always a favorite, and Van Gogh, and then I got a little older, and it was like, you know, Boris Vallejo and Frazetta and those more the fantasy ones.
Right.
But really, I look at just about any art I see, and it's inspiring in its own way. But so there's actually so many names I can't even think of them right now. The Frazetta and the Boris are the two that I think I remember because they were just so, like, fantasy, you know?
Right.
I'm like, I wish I could paint like that, you know?
And that's how we all start.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Awesome.
I'll never get there, but that's okay.
But that's kind of the whole thing about art is just kind of constantly trying to improve yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I like about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Okay, well, man, I just keep losing my train of thought. So I'm having a hard time today. It's been kind of a long day already.
So
have there been any, like, particular challenges that you've really had to kind of overcome as an artist?
Let's see. My biggest challenge is finding the time to paint. You know, I have kids, so there's a lot of things that need to be done that are not art.
Right.
And I haven't had time. I'd like to take classes, and again, it's just the time issue. You know, I'd like to be able to sit down and paint for hours and hours and hours, but somehow it never works. So
yeah.
I don't have enough time, but I think, you know, like you said, you're always trying to improve, and I don't have the time, I think, to put into the things I need to do to improve. So I wish I had more time. Maybe I will someday.
Right.
Yeah, there's no other challenges other than, I don't know. No.
Is there, like, a particular one that you maybe had, like, that you have overcame that maybe going to school or something?
Yeah, most of the challenges are technical ones, you know, like how to paint something that I don't know how to paint. Like glass or something, you know, that'll be tricky, and I just have to do it, you know.
Yeah.
I look at a lot of references and stuff. Otherwise, no, I mean, I went to school, but only for graphic design. I never actually had formal training in painting, really, except when I was like 8, I think I had art classes. You know, I still have those paintings too. You know, it's finding the space in my house and, you know, trying to keep the cat off the painting and, you know, he always wants to run through the palette, you know. It's
right.
It's mostly like my little, there's been no really big challenges other than teaching myself how to paint, since I have no real training in it. So I feel like I'm at a disadvantage as someone who took classes and actually knows how to use acrylic paints. I just sort of stumble around until something looks right.
Right. Awesome. Well, I do know about the cat thing. I was working on an oil painting for one of my illustration classes, and my cat, like, ran through the painting and then ran all over this costume I was making, so there's cat prints all over this costume.
Yeah.
It's just fabulous.
That's one reason why I don't do oil.
Yeah.
Because acrylic dries so fast. The cat has a little time to... He did do that to me, though. He stepped in a big puddle of black paint, and then I freaked out and threw him on the floor, and he ran up all over the floor. It was totally crazy. And
yeah.
He shook his foot, and he got it everywhere but the painting, so I was pretty amazing.
You're like, so long as it's not on the painting, I'm fine.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can wash it off with acrylic, so it's, you know, just take a sponge and psh.
Right.
So, otherwise, I would like to do oil someday. You know, my sister does oils, and I know a lot of people do oil, and it's more, I don't know, I guess it's different. I haven't done it since I was a kid. But I just, it's dangerous with, you know, a dog, a cat, and 4 kids letting something
yes.
sit around wet, you know?
Yeah.
So so.
Yeah, I have to find a separate room where none of the animals can find it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I don't have that kind of space here, so. Yeah, acrylics work better for me for now, but.
Yeah.
Someday.
Awesome. So, you kind of talked that you haven't really had any formal training. Like, what did you kind of do to kind of teach yourself, oh, this is... that's kind of a hard question, I guess, but...
I just did it. I just grabbed some paints and started painting. I mean, I've been drawing, obviously, for a long time, so it wasn't an issue of not being able to draw or, you know, the graphics... graphic design school really helped me with, you know, color theory, and we had illustration classes. You know, and composition was really important as well, because, you know, obviously you're designing a magazine ad, it's important what goes where. So really all that stuff was, I wasn't exactly starting from scratch. I had all the basics. I just had to, like, mess around with the paints and figure out how to use them.
Right.
And I have a couple books that I would look at that taught techniques, like how to do rocks, you know. So I looked at some books as far as techniques on handling certain textures and things like that. I would like to take classes one day, though.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure I'm doing it wrong.
Looks pretty amazing to me, I'm just saying.
Well, thank you. I'm my own worst critic. So.
I think we all are. And I think that's a good thing to be at some point. Just because my husband gets so annoyed with me, because I'm always like, what's wrong with it? And he's like, nothing. And I'm like, no, seriously, what's wrong with it?
Yeah, exactly. My kids are my biggest fans, but yeah, if there's something wrong, they'll tell me, though, so.
Yeah, it's nice to have.
Yeah, I take it with a grain of salt. I learned a lot from the working as a graphic designer, not to take it too personal when someone says something, you know, doesn't like something, or this should be that color. I'm like, eh.
Right.
When you paint it, you can paint it that way. I like it. So I can take criticism.
Awesome. And you've had quite a few paintings featured in, like, publications and magazines, right?
Not so much. I've had, there was this Chinese magazine, which was really weird, but I actually have a copy of it. Apparently it's a really big magazine in China. I didn't know they were so into the fantasy art, but they had a feature on me, which was kind of cool, seeing my art all, like, next to all the Chinese, like, headlines and stuff. It was pretty cool. There's been some of my ATCs, you know, the artist trading cards, have been in a couple publications, and some online zines and stuff like that. God, if there's anything else, I can't remember. I tend to forget.
So what are these artist trading cards? I don't think I've ever heard of those before.
Well, it's like, you know, like baseball cards. They're about that size, 2.5 by 3.5 inches. And it's like a little tiny piece of art, and you trade them with people, either live or through the mail. You know, there's a bunch of sites, websites where you can trade them. I'm actually on the jury panel on one of them called Illustrated ATCs. And you just, so you end up with this huge collection of all this art from people. I mean, I have cards from Germany and Singapore and, I mean, all over the world. And it's really kind of cool to have your own little art collection, and I didn't have to buy it, you know.
Yeah.
And they're not huge, so I don't have any walls in my house that aren't covered up with doors or windows. So it's a fun thing. I don't do them so much anymore because my eyesight is getting a little shaky, so doing something tiny like that is kind of challenging.
Yeah.
But they're a lot of fun. And I've actually gotten a lot of inspiration through that because there's so many different styles of art and people that do it, all different kinds of things. So it's fun.
Awesome. So what is your favorite piece of art that you have done?
Oh, my gosh. let's see. It tends to rotate. I'm having to turn around in my studio and look on the wall. I think the seahorse with the orange and white stripes, the hippocampus.
Oh.
It's like a lionfish.
Yeah.
That one I really like, and There was one called Play by Ear that had the fairy mice on Indian corn. I really like that one. And the most recent one I did is another hippocampus, but he's based on a mandarin fish, which I don't know if you've ever seen one of those, but they're super ridiculous bright colors. So he's got ridiculous bright colors. So I like him a lot. He was sort of my... I had jury members 2 years in a row tell me, comment on my art that I had submitted saying the colors were too ridiculous. So... So I decided to get really ridiculous. So
there you go.
So this guy is really—he's really colorful. So I like him too. Those are probably the top three. I'm not sure. You know, depending on what kind of mood I'm in, sometimes I like others better.
Right. I love the hippocampuses though. I think they are my favorite because it's one of my favorite like mythical creatures, and it's just kind of fun to see him reimagined.
Yeah. That's. Yeah, exactly. I like to reimagine them. They're different than you usually see them portrayed.
So right.
It's fun.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, do you have any particular piece of art that you own that's maybe been kind of an inspiration, or it's just like something you absolutely love?
Oh my gosh. I don't have a lot of originals. For years, I had up on my wall in the dining room a Cafe Terrace at Night by Van Gogh. I just always have really loved the colors and the composition on that painting. Let's see, what else? My kid art cracks me up, so that's, you know, my kid's art that they've
right.
done. I save it, so there's some of theirs are just astounding. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen the... it goes around on the web every now and then. People who have taken kid drawings and painted them as realistic.
Oh, yeah.
I've always wanted to try that with my own kids' art, because I think it would be hilarious.
Yeah.
But their art is inspiring just because kid art is so over the top and creative.
Yeah.
Let's see. I don't know. I don't really have too much... around here. I used to have other... Now my house is full of my own paintings because I have nowhere to put them, so...
It's always fun, too.
Yeah. I can get sick of them. I can put something else up always. So,
yeah.
I don't think there's anything else that I have around. I used to, but it's all sort of gone away somehow.
Awesome. Well, I'm trying to think of what else... I get here, and then my mind totally blanks, and I...
I understand.
I'm still working out this whole being a host all by myself thing. It's just kind of do my own thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, favorite mythical creature?
Ooh, dragon.
Dragon? Hands down?
Gotta say dragons. I like, it used to be when I was a kid, of course, unicorns, but I really like dragons. They come in so many different... forms. You can just do a lot with them. And I like griffins and the hippocampus too. I like hippogriffs. Is that what they're called? The ones
yeah.
with horses? Yeah. I don't know. I like a lot of it's hard to choose. I'm pretty sure Greg's
awesome.
The top, but it's hard to choose.
Yeah. I've always kind of had to bounce between like dragons and griffins.
Yeah. Griffins are cool. I wish I could paint them better, but... they always come out a little goofy, but...
yeah.
But I do like them. Someday I'll get it right.
yeah. And you do have this one dragon painting that I actually love that's kind of like steampunk.
Oh, yeah.
Do you do much with like steampunk stuff, or...?
Oh, is that the one that's like sort of orangey, metal-y looking thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would like to. Don't do that stuff very often. I guess things that are metal freak me out sometimes. but I like the idea, and I've seen a lot of people do really cool stuff. I get my brain freezes up when I start thinking about steampunk. It's like, oh, gears and clockwork. But I know that's not really all it is, so it's hard for me to think of how to conceptualize it without being too cliche. But yeah, I do like that stuff. And it is fun to do something sci-fi, you know, if I get tired of doing mice with wings, you know, which I do. It's fun to do something a little more on the other side of the coin, you know, a little harder edge, and just breaks up the monotony.
Right.
I get bored easily.
Awesome. Well, do you have anything else you'd like to, like, put out there for anyone that's, like, just getting started in art? Any, like, good advice?
You know, the best advice I ever got was paint or draw or whatever it is that makes you happy. You know, we were talking about the cat, winged cats. If you go into it just trying to make lots of money and try and follow the trends, it's just not going to be as fun, and your heart won't be in it. You know, you're going to do better if you paint stuff that you like and makes you happy, and, you know, so you can show a certain amount of passion, and it'll come out in the art, you know, if you really sort of are passionate about what you're doing. So that would be my best advice, is to go with what you like and what you think is cool, rather than just trying to do what worked for everybody else.
Awesome. That's really great, because, I don't know, I just feel like so many artists out there, manga, I've never been able to really get into the manga style, mm-hmm. but I feel like a lot of artists do the manga style because it's very popular.
Right.
And I actually had an experience where I did this 24-hour comic thing where you're supposed to do a comic book in 24 hours.
Wow.
And I didn't even get close to done, so maybe this year I'll do a little better. But everyone was drawing pretty much manga. It was, like, all looking a lot the same, and I kind of had my own style because I can't do manga because
right.
I don't know what it looks like. And they were all just like, oh, my gosh, your girl looks so pretty and all this. And I'm like, thank you, just because she looked different from everyone else's.
Yeah, well, that's it. You have to have your express your own vision.
Right.
And it shouldn't be what everybody else's vision is. Otherwise, yeah, it all kind of runs together, and you won't stand out, so... I mean, I look at other people's art and I'm like, oh, I wish I could do that. It would be so much better. And then I look at my stuff and I'm like, I kind of have my own style. It's not this or that, and it might be too gaudy. I mean, which is the comments I get. But that's what I do. I like the bright colors. So that's what
I love
do.
The bright colors. I think they're fantastic.
Well, it's funny. Most people who look at my art actually do like the bright colors, but I think jury panels need to sound like they have something constructive to say or something. So.
Like, what can we say about this?
Yeah, so I'm like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, you're probably right. I could have more sophisticated palette, but what the heck?
Meh.
It's like a
whatever
bag
works.
Of Skittles threw up on the canvas. That's okay.
That's what makes it fun, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
So.
All right, so go ahead and plug your website, where people can find you at.
My website is pretty easy. It's tabithaladdin.com. That's pretty much it. I have a Facebook fan page, too, which I guess if you look up Tabitha Ladin, you'll find it. I usually post the work in progress on the Facebook fan page, and so people can look, and I'll put up a sketch of what I'm working on or halfway through, and you can kind of see my process. Or I'll, you know, also say what shows, where my art's going, on the Facebook, too. And I try to on the website, but I hate messing around with the website, so.
Right.
It's not always as up-to-date as I like it to be, but. So that's
Do you
that.
Ever make it to any of the conventions, like?
I wish I could go to all of them, because they're so much fun.
Right.
I've been to Dragon Con twice.
Awesome.
I went last year in 2010. I went to Leprechaun, which is up in Phoenix, once, but probably won't go back there again. I was thinking about going to Phoenix Comic Con next year. I don't get to too many of them. The local Tucson one, I'll go to. But I don't get a chance to travel, so I'm always saying my art gets to have all the fun. Going to all these cool places I don't get to go to, but I wish I did.
Yeah. Well, Phoenix Comic Con, I've been debating on going there maybe next year, too.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I don't know if I'm bringing my art, but...
Yeah, just well, check it out.
Yeah,
so.
It'll be
90%. Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much again for joining me.
Sure, my pleasure.
And We'll talk to you later.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, that was Miss Tabitha Ladin. Oh, it is recording. Okay, I couldn't tell. I'm struggling a little today. But it's nowhere near as much as I was struggling week of Comic-Con. I will tell you that. Crazy. So, Salt Lake City Comic-Con was last weekend, the very first Comic-Con that Salt Lake has ever had. From what I hear, we pretty much beat every other convention on their first year. I believe we had about 71,000 people, and they had to turn about 5,000 or so away because we had exceeded fire code. So, you know, that's pretty awesome. I think San Diego does somewhere around 120,000. So, for a first year con coming within like 50,000 of like the Comic-Con, it's a pretty big deal. It was an awesome event. I had so much fun. I kind of wish I didn't get everything done that I wanted to do, but I had so much fun. It was amazing. So it was really great. I met a lot of really cool artists. They were all super cool. They were all super nice. All pretty willing to come and be on the show. So I'm pretty excited about some of the names I had that will be joining me here. They all seem pretty amazing. One of my favorites in particular was a Greg Horn, and oh my gosh, I had to keep going back to his booth because I wanted like every single print he ever made. He was that amazing. No, but yeah, he had some really cool prints. I ended up buying a couple of X-Men and an Avengers one and a Scarecrow one, which was pretty freaking awesome because it had Scarecrow from Batman and he's wearing like a fear-based lantern ring, like the yellow lantern ring. So, you know, every worst nightmare you ever had coming true. It was pretty awesome. So I ended up buying a few prints off of him. I really, really wanted one of the limited edition prints. I just couldn't quite break the bank to do it though. He had a really cool print of, I think there were 6 of the girls from X-Men, and it was pretty amazing because anyone that knows me knows that I am a huge X-Men fan. Like, that is my favorite comics by far are the X-Men. I love them and they are amazing. And anyways, so yeah, got some prints from him, got another couple really cool prints from Shelby, I don't quite remember his last name, but he's super awesome. I'll be having him on maybe next week or the week after that, something, once we get something figured out. But he was super cool. Of course, what I bought from him were Gambit prints, you know, because X-Men again. So, yeah, they were pretty awesome. I'm excited about what's to come. Comic-Con. Wow. So huge. So huge. The biggest convention I have ever been to was probably Conduit. And, I was not expecting, like, I knew it was going to be big, and I knew it was going to be crowded, and I was, like, preparing myself, okay, it's huge, this is big. It's come Saturday, like, Thursday was, you know, it was pretty good. I was like, oh, yeah, this is awesome turnout. It's huge, my gosh. I'm, like, wandering around, talking to people. Yeah, moving through the aisles pretty decently. By the time Saturday hit, like, there was no freaking way you could get through. Like, I took my husband with me on Saturday, and I'm a pretty good little crowd surfer. I'm kind of tiny and small, and so I can easily squeeze through people, and I have no inhibitions about, you know, just kind of shoving people out of my way, because I'm like that. Sorry, but I am. I like to get where I'm going. My husband, though, he's like, he's just, you know, this little gentleman. Well, he's not little. He's 6'2". So there's this big tall Kevin that sitting in the aisles and letting everyone just kind of shove past him. And so I, like, get to the booth I'm going to, and I turn around, I'm like, what, where did Kevin go? So, yeah, it was kind of funny, but my husband is nowhere near as good at maneuvering the crowds as I am. Just saying. So, it was a lot of fun. Pretty crazy. My good friend, Cassius, sorry, dog in my face. My good friend Larry Correa, he's a really awesome author. He writes the Monster Hunters International books. If you haven't read them, you need to, because they are amazing. But, yeah, he was trying to make his way over to our paranormal booth that we had, which I will talk about a little later. He couldn't even make it across the aisle. I think it was, he was over talking to the Stolen Droids guys, which, by the way, another awesome podcast. If you haven't checked out Stolen Droids, check them out. I'm doing a lot of plugs today, apparently. I just know a lot of really cool people, have a lot of really cool friends. Anyways, he was talking to the Stolen Droid guys, turns around, and Ben Hansen from Factor Faked is across the aisle, right next to, like, the kind of paranormal section. And so Larry wanted to head over there and shake Ben Hansen's hand because, you know, he likes Factor Faked. And Larry said after 20 minutes of trying to make it across the aisle, because people kept stopping him, oh, Larry Correa, type of thing, after 20 minutes, he finally just gave up. That's how crazy it was. My friend who wears the Wookiee costume every year, D'Artagnan, like, he's awesome. Like, there was no way he was getting anywhere outside of his booth. I think he did make it down to Peter Mayhew. I hope that's the right name. I always screw up names in my head. But he did make it down to the guy that plays Chewbacca, had a picture with him, so that was pretty cool for him. But, yeah, there was no way he was moving around with his Wookiee costume. It was insanity, but it was awesome. But speaking of Comic-Con, there was this really cool thing that we did this year. Now, for those of you that don't know that listen to the show, if you're listening to the show for whatever, for the first time or something, I am actually a paranormal investigator. That's kind of why I'm on a paranormal network. If you didn't know, that's kind of how I weaseled my way in. But, yeah, so what was really cool that happened at Comic-Con is there was a bunch of paranormal teams. I think we had about 8 different teams who all came together and created this amazing paranormal booth, which was just fantastic. It looked great, and I was so happy because I was so tired and so done. Apparently, I'm still a little tired because I'm yawning, and it's only like 4 o'clock in the afternoon because I'm pre-recording because I have an investigation tonight. Anyways, yeah, so the paranormal booth, it turned out amazing and awesome, and we spent a lot of time and effort into it, and it was all about unity in the paranormal. That's kind of what we wanted to promote, you know. All these teams working together, getting together, the fact that it could be done, even though a lot of people say that it can't. We wanted to show, you know, we are different teams from different backgrounds with all different belief systems, but we share a common goal that we want unity in the paranormal, you know. It's a goal that we all share that, you know, maybe there's a situation where a team can't make it to an investigation. There's a residential, and one team either just can't make it or just can't deal with it on their own. You have a whole network of other teams that you can call upon to kind of help and to show up and help and really, you know, just make it an all-around more positive experience. And that's kind of what we're all about, and we're all really excited about it. The booth came together great. I think a huge chunk of the unity that we are promoting. Cashes! Stop eating bunny poop! Anyways, so so that's my dog eating crap. No, get away from me. I don't want to pet you now. easily distracted, like I said. Wow, where was I even going with this thought? I was, yeah, lots of teams getting together. The big part of the unity, I think, was just the fact that we all came together and made this booth happen, and it looked amazing, and it turned out far better than I could ever have imagined, which, you know, is pretty amazing, because my head imagined some pretty awesome stuff. But yeah, it was a blast. I loved meeting the other teams. I loved, you know, making all these connections. They had a big paranormal panel that I wasn't able to attend. I had other obligations that night, but I hear it was amazing and that it went really well. They had a bunch of different teams, and they all just worked together, and I can't imagine it turning out any better. It was just awesome. So, if you're interested in checking any of that out, we actually do have... Oh my gosh, hold on. Stop it. I would just throw the dogs outside, but I think that the bug spraying people are here, and I don't want to give them a reason. Hey, you too. Stop it. I don't want to give them a reason not to spray my house. Oh my gosh, dogs. I'm going to put you in separate rooms. I swear I will turn this house around. Don't give me a sad puppy face. I don't care. You're the suck up. Yeah, you are. I don't... See, losing trains of thought again. You all get to hear the craziness that is my house. I don't want to give the Terminex guys any reason not to come and spray my house, because there was a spider on my wall last night, and I was on the couch crying and screaming at my husband, "Kill it! Kill it!" And he was, like, laughing at me. I'm like, it was on the wall, and it ran down the wall, and I don't know where it went. I'm on, like, the verge of tears, and by the time he walks over, he's like, "This spider?" I'm like, "Yes! That spider!" I'm, like, bawling, because I really cannot, I cannot do spiders. And you may laugh at that. "Oh, you're a ghost hunter who's, like, incredibly scared of spiders." Like, no joke. I will run out of a building screaming. Either that, or I will, like, go full-blown crazy on that spider and make sure it is good and squished before I can anywhere... Yeah, no. I don't do spiders. Spiders freak me out. Anyways, so, yeah. Talked about the paranormal unity. Oh, yeah. If you want to check out more about our Paranormal Unity thing, there's this awesome page on Facebook that we've created. Go ahead and search for Paranormal Unity of Utah. We've got a lot of really cool pictures from the booth. A lot of cool people were coming by and, like, getting pictures taken with our booth. I don't know if that was our awesome photographer going out and grabbing people and bringing them back, or some people just really liked our booth that much. There is a really awesome picture of someone in a dinosaur costume. So here's our paranormal booth and this dinosaur that's like, rah, coming to eat you. But it's pretty fantastic. I loved it. So that was a lot of fun. Comic-Con. It was amazing. First year. Can't wait till next year. Actually, I can wait. I need some recoup time before I do another convention, because that wore me out. But, yeah, it's amazing. If you're in the Utah area, I mean, check it out next year, because first year was amazing. Second year's going to be even better. I do know they got Stan Lee this year, which was, I mean, I think he was announced a couple days before Comic-Con, or, like, the day before it started. Oh, and there's more stuff to distract me now. But... Everyone freaked out so much that it crashed the Comic-Con site. Yeah, Stan Lee, first year. Pretty awesome. Also, what I had going on last weekend, which was pretty fun, was the Gangrene Film Festival. This is put on by my good friend Craig Nybo and Ben Fuller. And it's a comedy film festival. And... you know, I didn't go last year. It was their 14th year. The theme was tuba cue. So they had this tuba guy, this guy playing tuba, and he was playing, like, rock songs on his tuba, and it was amazing. And then for the film festival part, they actually had two tubas turned into barbecues and guys cooking hot dogs and then, like, rolling up the hot dogs and chucking them out to the audience. It was pretty amazing. There were a lot of great films. I had a really awesome time. I laughed a lot. So that was really fun. If you're in the Utah area, it's up in Ogden area, Layton, Ogden area. I think it's the Layton Amphitheater, I believe. Every year about this time, I think they've got a Facebook page, Gangrene Film Festival. So check that out. It's super cool. What else did I do this weekend? It was crazy. Crazy long weekend. But, yeah. So, I may be ending the show just a few minutes early tonight. That's totally cool. I didn't really come with anything to talk about and ramble about, although I did ramble about Comic-Con for a fair amount of time. So, yeah. Thank you all for listening. Remember to check out Tabitha Ladin, www.tabithaladin.com. She's amazing. Go see her awesome artwork. Check out Salt Lake City Comic Con. Next year's going to be even more amazing. And that's saying a lot. I forgot to mention one of the most awesome parts of Comic Con. I got a picture taken with Xander. I believe his real name is like Nicholas Brendan, but I don't care. For me, it's always Xander because I'm a huge Buffy fan. So, anyways, a lot of good times. Check out Salt Lake City Comic Con. Also, check out Gangrene Film Festival, and don't forget to check up on Paranormal Unity of Utah on Facebook. Stop by and say hi, and see you all next week.